Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item three, roll call.
John Steinberg.
Here.
Chris Keckler.
Here.
Mike Polakoff.
Here.
Dave Klimisch.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Quorum being present. Brings us to item four, minutes of the special meeting October 1st, 2018, and minutes of regular meetings for October 1st, 2018, and October 15th, 2018, and November 5th, 2018, presented to board members in written form.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to item five, citizens' comments.
Mr. President, we had one sign up this evening, Ken Harju.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ken Harju, actually. Like, fine, how are you? I live in Pleasant.
Ken, just give us your name and address for the record.
9249 64th Court, Unit 162, Pleasant Prairie.
Thank you.
I'm a little nervous tonight, but I live in Pleasant Prairie. We bought about 3 years ago, and at the time, as you probably all know, it's about 60% developed. And we have got wind that Bayer Development has bought a lot of the other property there, and they're planning a bunch of a development. And I have a quick map I can give to everybody. I'm entertaining anyway, huh? I need it at home. So developed as we bought our condo, and they were pretty well was zoned for other condos and single-family homes. Well, Bayer Development now owns a property, and they're proposing 140 apartments as well as 38 single-family homes. And if you look at your map, those are the yellow buildings. The bottom part of your map, the light gray buildings, are established buildings, are already there. Top of your map is a circle. That's four 20-unit apartment buildings. If you keep going around the circle, there's another three yellow buildings. That's another 20 apartment buildings. I live in an 8-unit. On that map, a 20-unit building is smaller than my 8-unit building, so it might be a little deceptive. So I'm just saying, I'm not sure that this is a place for this development. It's 178 more units. There's 150 there now. That's 328, all supported by one road, Creekside Circle. Now, given the fact that every town needs to develop, I understand that. And if these units were going to be higher end, hey, you know, we're all owned there. But this 6th of December, Bayer Development has incorporated Creekside Commons LLC and is going before the Wisconsin Housing Authority. I'm reading out a legal notice from the Kenosha News of 11/16. And states that they're going to go for low and moderate housing and asking for $25 million grant towards this project. Every city needs mixed housing. I understand that. But I'm not sure that this is a place for low and moderate housing. And I'm just coming to the board to point this out to you. So I appreciate your time. We moved to the area from Gurnee 3 years ago. We love it here. My son is a plant manager at Rarick Pacific and makes all the garbage containers that we use. My daughter, who lives in Pleasant Prairie, just bought a house in Village Green. My daughter is now a 911 dispatcher for Kenosha County. So this is our home now, and I just don't know that this is the right development for this particular area. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. That was it. Anyone else wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments. We'll move on to item six, administrator's report.
Thank you, Mr. President and board members. I do have one item tonight. In your packet tonight, there's a four-page item called Creating Community Collaborative Involvement. And just wanted to give an introduction to this. This is sort of an introductory piece, and it's an engagement that the village administration is really excited about, so we want to sort of present this to you tonight. This is a This is a gentleman who runs this company called Community Collaboration, and he was at the League of Wisconsin Municipalities meeting in Wisconsin Dells back in October. And Nathan, our administrator, had the opportunity to meet him and go to his session at the conference. And what this gentleman does is he uses a sort of a new way of engaging the community to get involved in certain projects. So Nathan, like I said, talked with this gentleman, and we've talked with him over the phone since, and we're interested in engaging this gentleman and entering into a contract with him, which you'll see in a later board meeting date, to help us with the Village Green Center, which will occur around here and across the street, as you know, which has been on the sort of the back burner for the past 20, 30 years to develop that sort of downtown for the Village of Pleasant Prairie. So this gentleman would help us and help the community, obviously, in getting this process underway once again. And he uses this unique process where he really digs down deep and sort of from the ground up community engagement process to get the community involved, its citizens, its stakeholders, so on and so forth. So instead of earlier processes and past processes that the village has used, whereby, you know, typically the village or a consultant will come in with a plan, they'll show it to, we'll invite the community, people will show up, obviously, they show them the plan, and people give their input, the consultant goes back, makes a few tweaks, and says, okay, here's the plan. So it's almost, some people might perceive that as, you know, writing on the wall already. It's just a basic process that to go through just to make it, to check a box. Yes, we did some community engagement. Well, this gentleman, this Todd Streeter's name is, who runs this company, he gets the community engaged, like I said, from the ground up. So he'll have an initial kickoff meeting. He invites anyone who wants to come to the meeting. Everyone's invited. And what that does is it gets the community, the citizens involved from the very beginning. And then he lets the citizens run with it. So in other words, they're going to be doing the planning. The citizens would run the meetings. The staff takes a step back and is not really involved at all. Mr. Streeter would send out invitations. He'd make public notices, put things in the media regarding these meetings. So it's a really grassroots involvement to get the community involved. And what that does is, by getting the community involved, you know, they take ownership of it. Then they become really interested in the process. You know, they run with it. The process takes about 6 to 8 months. They would meet like every 2 weeks, these focus groups. So once you get this kickoff meeting, then you divide it down into focus groups who would sort of concentrate on certain aspects of the plan, like transportation, parks, so on and so forth. So you have these certain focus groups who would then delve into and look into their specific project area. And at the end, they bring all this together. So it's really Nathan and I are really excited about it, as well as Gene Werby Harris, and we think this guy could do some great wonders and get this downtown going again by getting this grassroots community involvement. So I just wanted to explain the process to you. Like I said, we probably have hopefully a contract with this gentleman coming up in probably the next meeting to engage this Todd Streeter to help us along with this Village Green Center. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Yeah, he mentioned, we asked him that the other day. He said anywhere from about 18 to 22,000.
What kind of timeline?
He said anywhere between 6 to 8 months from kickoff to completion. And he said, you know, you find out really how much talent, you know, we know there's very smart people in the community. You really find out through this process how much talent there is in the community. You know, they're willing to take this process, run with it. You know, they can perhaps create maps and create charts. And so they really take a hands-on approach and really get involved in this process. So it really becomes, you know, not only the community's plan, but, you know, their plan as well.
Sounds interesting.
That's all I have.
There's no guidance from staff?
Oh, don't get me wrong. There'll be some guidance, undoubtedly. But the idea is to really have the citizens and the focus groups take it on themselves. That's really the main impetus of the whole project. But no, Mr. President, yeah, there would be obviously some guidance, yes. That's all I have.
Any other questions for Tom? Thank you, Tom. That moves us on to item 7, old business. We have one item here. The item is tabled. I need a motion to remove from the table.
Second.
Motion and a second to remove from the table. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That item is item 8, to consider and accept the Suburban Mutual Assistance Response Team's agreement. Chief?
Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. The item before you tonight is the Suburban Mutual Aid Response Team memo of understanding. This is a project that's been almost 2 years in the works. The area of Kenosha County was approached by the governing board of SMART over 2 years ago, just about 2 years ago, and with their desire for Kenosha County law enforcement agencies to join their organization. The organization of SMART consists now of agencies from Kenosha County, Racine County, Walworth County, Milwaukee County, Jefferson County, and Waukesha County. The idea behind those agencies joining is that it allows, it provides immediate law enforcement resources and equipment to the scene of any law enforcement emergency, provides the automatic and systematic response of those resources. It provides an MOU, which you have in front of you tonight, for your consideration. So the legal and other responsibilities are outlined and codified. And it provides broad coverage for those law enforcement, as well as fostering a good law enforcement cooperative spirit between the agencies. The idea behind this is that each agency that joins agrees in spirit to when there is a SMART call-up, and that is designated by the agency, by the belonging agency, so that the agency that belongs to SMART, and then the other agencies that are contributing. So there are 70 other, you could have a possibility of having 70 officers from those agencies on site. There's 70 different law enforcement agencies involved in this process. That would be able to help you during a natural disaster, transportation accidents, large fires, things of that nature. It could also help you during some pre-planned events, as long as those events are approved by the board for that type of response. The typical response goes out like this. The West Dallas Police Department, their communication section, handles the communication. Our law enforcement agency would receive a teletype requesting one of our officers and a stated type of equipment to respond to a site. We would then designate which officer and which equipment they're taking with them. They would respond to that site along with numerous other agencies. There's a number of levels. Now, to give you an example, a level one response for us, it's a little tough to see up there, but a level one response from us would get us our area agencies. So we could get up to 5 departments here very quickly to help us out. So that could be for a crime, that could be for a natural disaster, that could be for any type of response we're looking for. If we decide to go to a level 2, level 3, you see the number of those squads increases by 5 for each of those levels of response. So when it's all said and done, if you went through all those levels of response, you could have as many as 70 officers here willing to help and able to help for any type of situation. Some of the larger events that this has been used on is the Sikh temple shooting in Oak Creek. Milwaukee County is, their agencies in Milwaukee County have been in the forefront of organizing this. So they would place that call out. Those officers would respond and be able to stay on site for a certain amount of time. The idea behind SMART, the MOU you have in front of you tonight, has been vetted by the village's legal counsel and Don Mayhew. Don had some questions about it. That's why we paused at the last village board meeting, had it brought back, so the insurance liability carriers could actually take a look at it as well. They've approved it. It's got broad support. The agreement itself that's in front of you was drafted by Eric Larson and Ramsey Batar, who are attorneys who represent the League of Municipalities. So they've got that broad view as well as what's going to affect their member agencies. And I can answer any questions for you if you
like. I have one. Chief, if we have a call-up and another agency responds and one of their officers becomes disabled as a result of the action within our village, who's responsible for that disability?
That could be on our agency. So the agreement is covered by the mutual aid as mentioned in state law. With that, you'll see in the agreement that the chief law enforcement in each of the jurisdictions has the ability to waive certain costs. With that type of cost, it would be the village board deciding whether to waive or deciding whether to go after the agency, that the requesting agency, for those costs.
I had a question regarding Section 9, the termination. Obviously, this is expected that everybody will participate and be able to support each other, but I'd imagine that in rare circumstances there may be times when any one entity's department is exhausted and thus a call may come out, unfortunately, not being able to support them, and I know that there's variability with that card. In the section where it talks about that the chiefs and sheriffs may adopt procedures for terminating agencies, is this just kind of a wait and see if that arises and what that
That would be
like?
There's another section in this that if the request, if the agency being requested to help has no resources to send, we all understand that.
Okay.
So it's, while it's an optional response, the overwhelming push behind it is that you will send at least one officer to respond
sure.
to that.
But at least with the understanding that there unfortunately may be a circumstance where everybody's tied up.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Thank you.
Chief, over the past several years, are there some incidences here where we could have used this? And if we didn't have this, how would we respond?
We are fortunate enough to have several large agencies right at our borders. The incident that comes to mind is probably about a month ago with a shooting situation we had where we needed a vast amount of help. So we had Kenosha PD and Kenosha Sheriff's Department who were willing to help us out with some resources until we could get that situation contained. We handled the complete investigation of it. We needed those resources to set up a perimeter on some locations to make sure nobody was in and out, some traffic control, which is really what this would be as well. So you'd assign those resources that are coming in to areas that you can't necessarily man by a barricade. You need an officer at that location. So you would assign those resources coming in. We take a responsibility on with this when we agree with this that we will man staging. So we'll have one of the supervisors involved and responsible for the staging of incoming resources. So we'll know exactly where to put them, exactly what they're going to be doing. If we have to, we'll supplant them with one of our personnel as well. So they've always got that contact between us.
So if this had been in place for that incident or something similar, how would it have gone?
You know, I can think of some natural disasters we've had down here as well where our resources have been tasked. It was before my time, but when the tornado came through, whether it's flooding, whether it's those types of natural disaster incidents, I can think of if you do have some sort of a in the political seasons where you've got a large group or an important, say you've got a presidential visit, you've got something else, you can get that permission from the board to also utilize it for that. What they try to stay away from is you've got a 4th of July parade, you're not going to be using this for that. So it's really a last-ditch effort where the resources of the requesting agency have been tapped.
Okay. Any other questions for the chief?
I move approval of the SMART agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for agreement of the agreement. Further discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
That moves us to item 8, new business. First item being item 8, consider award a contract to purchase a rescue pumper fire engine.
Mr. President, members of the board, for your consideration this evening, we put an RFP out to for the purchase of a rescue pumper fire apparatus. That was the budget for that was approved. We put the request for proposal out to three organizations: Pierce Manufacturing, E1, and Fiera. Slide, please. Bid results were as follows. You know, Pierce came in at $776,699, E1 with $864,696, and Fiera did not bid at all. Slide. So we're looking to recommend Pierce Manufacturing for the above mentioned price, the $776,699 for the rescue pumper. I can answer any questions that you'd like.
Questions for the chief?
Chief, the 5613 now is a vehicle that comes out of service?
Yes, that's the 1990 Pierce Arrow. The other consideration, we'll talk about it shortly, the 1990, basically the tank needs to be replaced, to which we've gotten quotes is upwards of $30,000. So we don't feel that it makes by best financial sense to replace that tank. We also feel that with the engine and the pump of some of the monies that we have spent on it in the beginning of the year, that engine would make a good surplus sale because it still would be usable with if someone would decide to use it for a pump.
This is our reserve engine?
I'm sorry.
Is 13 a reserve engine?
Yes.
Okay.
How do these bid prices fit with what you're anticipating?
Let's put it this way. The E1 was extremely higher than what we anticipated, and we're quite honestly a little disappointed with the E1 bid price. If you recall, the aerial platform was an E1. Pierce did not bid for the aerial. They did bid for the rescue pumper. Pierce demonstrated significantly more detail in their bid document. They offered different options that we didn't think of, quite honestly, in some cases had cost reductions. And so they were much more detailed than E1 was. And Fiera, a fire manufacturer down out of Louisiana, did not bid at all.
Chief, if this is a reserve unit, if you had to make repairs to this particular unit, $30,000 for a tank, what's the cost of a new pump?
I hazard guess as far as the pump. Are you talking about the 1990?
Yeah.
Yeah, the pump in the 13, from what I understand, is it works.
It works.
The fact that it's a 1990, that's really the concern.
You know, 24,000 miles on a diesel is really nothing.
That's the oldest of the engines is the 1990.
Okay.
One of the Mr. President, I'm sorry, I didn't know if you were. I know we're going to need to take that 90 out of service. I mean that goes without saying. I know the other item that was in the budget for the fire rescue department was an outgrowth of how the department needs to grow from a staffing standpoint. Mm-hmm. So we need two things. We need capital and we need staffing additions. And then part of that addition, that addition is due in part to the growth of the village, but it's also part to the same labor problems that everybody else is having, as we don't have paid on call firefighters at the rate we used to, if at all. And the same thing with part-time. And in order to come up with a comprehensive solution to that problem, you know, the board had funded a staffing study to be done by a professional consultant to help us come up with how many people do we need for what we have now based on our growth path and how that's occurring. You know, what do we need to be able to handle for new growth coming forward? And do that all in light of levy limits and all that stuff's going on. I tend to think that we need to, I would recommend we reshift the priorities here, get the staffing study underway, get that thing done as well done. I want to, you know, I think we all want a well done study that sure. Everybody's had a piece of. Get that staffing study done and have it take a look at everything. I don't know that it's going to tell us don't get a rescue pumper. I mean, I'm not sure that's going to be the direction of that. But I do think that staffing study is going to give us some lead on when the next station opens
some
up
insights.
And what we're going to need to put in that station. So, I don't want you to think that I'm not supporting getting a rescue pumper. I think we need to get that, but I think we need to resolve and get a handle on what we're going to need.
Definitely
for,
need to study,
for staffing.
Without a doubt.
I think to me the personnel part of this is more important than in a priority sense than
right.
The engine, you know. And I'd recommend removing it from the agenda for two reasons. One is I'd like to be able to give the department an opportunity to sit down with another vendor, or if it gives Pierce the opportunity to come, not Pierce, but E1, the opportunity to come up and sharpen their pen, because we only got one bona fide offer here.
Right.
And if we can get another offer, I think that's good for everybody. It gives us some time to get that done. Rather than, I don't want to table it and having it still be out there forever. And I think we should give the department some latitude dealing again. And I think the other thing we could do is we just outright deny it. And, you know, the RFP that, when I looked at the RFP you submitted, it reserved that right for the village board to deny any and all proposals.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it could be a denial. I mean, you've been dealing with these guys, might be cleaner than just removing them from the table and having it sit idle.
Right. I mean, the idea is that we really, whatever's in the best interest of the village.
Right.
And I'd be inclined to support that. I know this was mentioned as a backup, but this in no way puts any of the public safety at risk if we were to deny this.
Correct.
Okay, just so that's absolutely clear.
So with that, to the board, I'd like to make a motion to deny the bid that's presented, recommended by the police and fire department. The Fire and Rescue Department for the rescue pumper bid from Pierce Manufacturing, and I want to have the budget for the police department. I'm sorry, fire department. If you guys want to get some yellow hats, enjoy
yeah.
For the Fire Rescue Department to move forthwith to get that staffing study underway, get that done, and as we start getting that done, then we can. It's going to be a delivery ramp up to get this thing done. We can put the thing out to bid again. I'd
right.
recommend you put it out to bid. So
they're not going away.
Right. So anybody has any? Like I said, I don't have any issues with the truck at all. But I do have. I think the board has concerns. I'm sure that we have our hands around what the staffing requirements are going to be for the department.
What you said makes sense, Mike.
So that was a motion, Mike.
That was a motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks,
Thank
Chief.
You. I'm still up.
Oh, you got one more.
Okay.
So, as we just previously discussed a little bit regarding the 1990 Pierce Arrow, we're looking to take that out of the fleet and put that into the surplus so that we can, right now, we can probably get. You know, some decent money for it while it's in somewhat good condition. So we're looking to also get rid of slide, please. We're also looking to get rid of the 2008 MedTech ambulance, which we will be replacing with the Horton that we just received, and to do the same.
Is this 1990 the one that the new Pierce was going to replace?
Yes.
So we need to not dispose of it yet.
Well, still a reserve engine, so we have other engines, you know, to utilize. This is the oldest of five engines.
So
you have another engine behind the front lines.
Correct. I'm sorry?
You have another engine behind your front line engines to take care of.
Correct. Yep.
This isn't wouldn't be in rotation.
Right.
Okay. So the trustees Keckler's previous comment, I mean, it's not going to impact
safety,
the availability.
I recommend disposal of
both vehicles,
the pumper tanker and the rescue squad.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Now I can thank you, Chief. That brings us to item. Was that item B then?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was resolution 1847. Brings us to item C, and that is consider the request for a new liquor license agent for Quick Trip store number 230, located at 10451 72nd Avenue.
Mr. President and Village Board of Trustees, Quick Trip has submitted a request to change the agent that holds a Class A fermented malt beverage and Class A intoxicating liquor license, cider only, and that's for the Quick Trip, which is located at 10451 72nd Avenue. The previous agent is no longer employed at that establishment. The corporation is requesting a Kelly M. Eckler to be appointed as a successor agent. All requirements have been satisfied. Chief Smetana has completed and approved the police check with respect to Ms. Akers, and I am recommending approval of Kelly M. Akers as successor agent for the Quick Trip number 230. Any motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item 9, Village Board comments.
I just have one. Item 11 is a public workshop, sidewalks. Is that going to be heard tonight?
Yes.
What is that? After we adjourn?
Yes.
Where?
We delayed this from the last meeting. Right here, right?
Really?
Right.
I'm impressed.
Okay. Right here before us.
Let's hop to it. I move to adjourn.
No.
Can I make a quick comment?
No.
Just to follow up on a question, Mr. President, you had regarding that community collaboration. You asked me the time frame. Maybe I didn't answer that fully. I said 6 to 8 months, which is correct, but we're looking to perhaps start that as early as this coming January. So if we start that in January, it'd be 6 to 8 months starting in January.
Okay. Citizens' comments? I have two. First off, to thank Virgil Gentz. I hear he's retiring. 40 years. Virgil is actually a product of the Village of Pleasant Prairie. He was born and raised here, and he actually worked on my farm. We repaired all the damages, and he moved on to bigger and better things. So congratulations to Virgil for 40 years. He's done a great job out there and a big part of Kenosha County. The other item is I see we have young people out in the audience. Maybe you have a spokesman you can send up to the microphone and tell us who you are and why you're here. Okay, I love a volunteer. And give us your name and address for the record.
My name is Troy Limbaugh. I live down in here at 6027 107th Street. We're here from Troop 505 Boy Scouts, just filling out, watching and listening for a merit badge to learn about the community. That's
okay.
About it.
All right. Thank you, and thank your troop thank for you. Being here tonight.
Thanks.
Anything else under Village Board comments? If not, we have a motion and a second for adjournment. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.